Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the straight shooting view,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. Pitch Talk podcasts and videos are brought to you in association with LE Bikes. Begin your journey into electric bikes. Visit lebikes.co.uk. Welcome to
the Straight Shooting View.
Hey everybody, what is up? My name is Straight Shooting LJ and welcome to part two of my review of the FIFA Netflix series, FIFA Uncovered. And the episode is titled, And the Winner Is. So let's dive into the muck. So, episode two opening with Sepp Blatter wanting to unite the FIFA family. Saying during the election they played with things that were not allowed, that were allowed or not allowed, and talked about kicking and shirt pulling, which is cheating, and saying not tackling from behind as that's not allowed anymore, but he wants the unity of football to be upheld. So essentially Blatter admitted to using dirty tactics slash cheating, or the dark arts as they're called by some, and in the same breath says about unity being upheld when he divided the voters to get elected in the first place. Yeah, harbingers of the future right there. Especially as he went on to talk about realizing the power he now had as FIFA president. Anyway. The World Cup, though, is definitely massive. And journalist, I think his name was David Conn, was actually right. Image building financially for FIFA, there's nothing bigger. But he and Valka were right about it giving power over countries, but the power of corruption was given to FIFA as well. The Goal Project made sense with every federation having its own headquarters and distributing the $400,000 that allocated to it to build facilities, etc. But it was telling that it was said that Platini didn't want to hear about the shady stuff behind the game. Now, Ferku Kidane is a name I'd never heard of before, but as the African football correspondent, he would have seen firsthand what happened in countries like Kenya, who were shown where the facilities weren't built, but the money went missing. But it was, again, unsurprising that he said FIFA didn't ask for any reports, so they didn't know what happened to the money, which I've said on Pitch Talk shows is the same thing that has always happened with the FA and the Premier League here in England. And like with the money that's supposed to filter down to grassroots level from the Premier League and from the Premier League's multi-billion pound television deals. But FIFA calling themselves a bank is like, nah, that's utterly moronic. There's a legacy of development from Blatter's presidency, but there's a lot more of a legacy of greed and corruption from his presidency. And he was saying all the right things to the underprivileged and underdeveloped confederations and nations. Chuck Blazer got called a salesman, but you have to say Blatter is too. I mean, ISL going down, that was interesting, as it seemed to create massive questions around Blatter for the first time. But Blatter hiring a lawyer, Michael Zen Ruffinen, as his secretary general, to me actually looked suspect. But it was interesting, it was even more interesting, that he actually turned the guns inwards at the man he hired when he started asking questions and showed in a report mismanagement by Blatter. And he also identified conflicts of interest and potential corruption in the organisation itself. But of course, a corrupt organisation will always try and insulate itself when questions are asked from the outside or whistleblowers start talking. So seeing the FIFA EXCO, Executive Committee, being formed and splitting into two camps wasn't of any great surprise, because one camp was obviously going to be for Blatter and the other for Zen Ruffian. And of course, Blatter would deny anything criminal. But you see battle lines getting drawn right down the middle. And Chuck Blazer, who is eventually a whistleblower, I said, is definitely a salesman. And he tried to make the accusations sound like a positive thing for Blatter. Like those accusing him were just haters. And it was, I mean, this is just top, it was top level deflection. But to hear Blatter was selling future competitions to show that there were no financial issues was hilarious. It reminds me of Barcelona back in August of 2022, selling off their future and saying, nah, but everything's fine. Trying to get anyone in but Blatter in 2002 using Issa Hayatu was funny, but Blatter wouldn't be beaten. I mean, he was dug in like a tick even at that point due to his legacy ties with Havelange. But the way he sacked Zen Ruffian showed the true colours of Blatter, that anyone who stood in his way would be taken out. He literally sacked him there and then. And remember, he was the one who brought Zen Ruffian in. And in the current day interview, Blatter almost looked joyful that he got rid of him. But Zen Ruffian's last swipe was brilliant though. Yesterday, I was hoping for democracy. And unfortunately today, you members of the Congress and us on this podium didn't get it. You can see Zen Ruffian clearly was trying to sort out FIFA and help it. But the good old boy networks once again came through for Blatter. And he was basically bulletproof at that point in 2002. And if you can get rid of your second in command like that just because he challenged you and called you out on your wrongdoings, it does show how much power you wield and how much influence you really should not have. The ex-codo being described about the executive committee being a group of power-hungry people willing to put a knife in each other's backs sounded spot on. And Jack Warner was a massive politician, and through being Sepp Blatter's friend, Warner helped Trinidad and Tobago get into a position to qualify for the World Cup, which again was of no great surprise. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And it was a feel-good story, but it was a shame it had the story of corruption behind it. I mean, fair enough, Trinidadian players like Sancho saw the dream, but with the qualification bonus being the area where the feeling got sticky with Warner, that was interesting as well, because it seemed to foreshadow issues down the road. And the deductions started rolling in, and those players realised how corrupt Mr. Warner was after looking up to him almost as a god. I mean, Shaka, his lot must have been especially fuming at the $800 per player as a bonus for World Cup qualification, considering he'd been plying his trade in Europe for so long, where stuff is a lot more professionally done. But the Trinidadian FA settling for $1.3 million 8 years later and still knowing $15 million is unaccounted for must leave a real bitter taste in the mouth of that 2006 World Cup squad, even now in 2023, knowing that Warner pocketed the money. As said in my first part of this review, Blatter and Havelange latched on to apartheid ending, getting a World Cup to Africa, and Nelson Mandela being freed as PR manipulation, in my view, to deflect from the nefarious activities. And of course, Blatter took that opportunity later down the road, post 2002, when the World Cup was awarded to South Africa. I mean, Morocco never really had a chance to win the 2004 bidding for the 2010 World Cup, even though they rolled out the red carpet for Chuck Blazer and Warner and that. I feel because of the relationship with Havelange, Blatter and South Africa. Close shop. I did feel it was kind of odd though to have Chuck Blazer's ex-partner on the documentary, but I guess they couldn't obviously get Chuck because he's deceased. And it was sad that Blazer and Warner were basically using Nelson Mandela to make themselves look more powerful. I mean, it was interesting though, the discussion about post-apartheid South Africa using the World Cup to put their best foot forward to the world. And it does show the power of football to cleanse an image, for sure. I mean, the opium analogy was interesting from Blatter's African advisor. As opium's effects wear off and you realise the pain you're in, it's a temporary fix and you always have to ask what happens next. It once again showed that the corruption that South Africa paid for free votes from Warner Blazer and another ExCo member, and that FIFA approved it. But it again started getting shady when you hear $10 million was supposed to go to Warner and Blazer was supposed to get $1 million and the money's gone missing. It's both absurd and disgraceful in equal measure. Especially it was supposed to be for the impoverished Africans in the Caribbean. The comments, though, about bribery from Francis Gifo were more evidence of how absolute corruption can corrupt absolutely. Especially when he said South Africa deserved the World Cup based on the merit of their bid. I mean, for me, that shows to me that FIFA encourages corruption. And the irony of having Haviland saying to Blatter that he'd created a monster after South Africa got the World Cup is hilarious. It's like, it's too late, mate. You created a monster 30, 40 years before. And a lack of accountability has always been an issue with FIFA. But when you combine money, power, and an attitude of being untouchable, it's a dangerous combo. Doing both World Cup bids at the same time, 2018 and 2022, everyone could see a mile away that it was going to encourage corruption, as it encouraged collusion. As I've said on numerous Straight Shooting View episodes, and we talked about this on Pitch Talk live shows at the time, before and after. Because if you can be in one but not the other, and vote in one, in the one that you're not in, you're encouraging deals to be made. For example, vote for me in 2018, and I'll vote for you in 2022. And whatever we do, we vote against England. Only 22 ExCo members instead of 2024 being there was bad enough. But it looks sinister when you find out the reason why the Tahitian and Nigerian ExCo members weren't allowed to vote. And it's because they allegedly tried to sell their votes. Which is, again, moronically ironic, considering how Blatter got into power when he beat Lennart Johansson. And when you also factor in South Africa and the money they paid Warner and Blazer. It's like, what, penalised once, not every time. Putting the two World Cups together was always a bad idea. But Blatter coming out and saying it was bad right before it was stupid. I mean, Russia not having the right roads and transport infrastructure for a World Cup should have been enough to disqualify them. But, of course, we know that Putin greased the wheels to get the World Cup there. I mean, him promising to make it better was a joke. You can't win a World Cup bid based on promises. Just brown paper envelopes. 2018, though, was that World Cup was guaranteed to go to a European country. And this is not sour grapes, but it always should have been England, as we had the best technical bid. But you factor in the corruption and the fact that we're not liked as a footballing nation, you get us being eliminated from the first round with, what, 1 to 2 votes? With that same logic, 2022 should have gone to America, USA, based on their bid. And again, they had the best stadia, etc., and had hosted in 1994. But at least down the road, they got awarded 2026 with Canada and Mexico. So it worked out for them eventually. But England, we got more from UEFA than FIFA, with 2 Champions League finals in 3 years, 2011 and 2013, and the final and semi-final for Euro 2020, which was played in 2021 because of COVID. Former ISL executive, though, Dominic Schmidt, was spot on when he said deciding the winners of the World Cup bidding shouldn't have been just by the ExCo, as they'd abused their power to the nth degree. I mean, he was so right, considering no accountability, no responsibility, nobody reigning FIFA ExCo members in. You did get a free-for-all, where World Cup bids were clearly based on the money in brown paper envelopes, as it wasn't based on the credibility of bids at all. I think Chuck Blazer turned whistleblower to the FBI because 2022 got awarded to Qatar. I honestly do. Bearing in mind how his ex-partner has said he was devastated. I still remember, actually, where I was when hearing news of that announcement. It was a cold December day in 2010, and I was actually going to do some filming in Shoreditch. And I was apoplectic when I heard the news. And we had a pitch talk show on the Monday after, and I was still fuming then. And it was, oh, man. But you know what? I want to know your views. What were your feelings on the 2018-2022 World Cup Awards? How corrupt and murky was that? And also, as well, Sepp Blatter wanted to unite the FIFA family, even though he divided it with his ascension to power. What do you think about episode 2 of FIFA Uncovered, the Netflix series? I thought it was a very interesting episode, and of course is building up very nicely to what's to come as well. But Chuck Blazer as well, did you think it was a bit odd having his ex-wife on the show, or was it important context to have her on, obviously with Chuck Blazer being deceased? And do you think that Chuck Blazer only turned whistleblower because Qatar got the 2022 World Cup instead of the USA? Do you think England should have got the 2018 World Cup and the USA should have got 2022 instead of 2026 with Canada and Mexico? A few interesting questions there. And how much does corruption have to do with both of those not getting them? But you know what? I have been straight shooting LJA, and I want to know your views. www.pitch-talk.com is the official website. At Pitch Talk on Twitter, tweet with us, follow us, see what we're up to. facebook.com/pitchtalk, become a friend, become a member of the group. Join the footballing revolution we are working so hard to create. youtube.com/pitchtalk for all of our videos. Also, Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so many other places where you can catch the Pitch Talk podcast, as well as catching them on our website as well. We're at Pitch Talk on Instagram. We're at Pitch Talk on Reddit. We're also at Pitch Talk on TikTok as well. Instagram and TikTok is where you can catch vlog and also podcast previews as well. So preview materials and much, much more stuff as well. Here's one of them ones, man. Episode 2 of FIFA Uncovered. A very interesting watch. And as I said, you can see them slowly building towards episode 3 and episode 4. So, 2 down, 2 more to go. I will see you next time for episode 2 of my FIFA Uncovered review. Take care, peeps.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution.
Check out the official Pitch Talk website.
www.pitch-talk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football, dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the straight shooting view,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. I can see you now.